I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Great. Thank you very much. Julia, did you have something you want to say before we get started?
Yes, you wish me to give you the participants who are on the call.
Yes, please.
Sure. You have Michaeli Nealon, Remy Nwiki, Olivier Kouami, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Robin Gross, Ron Wickersham, Matt Serlin, James Bladel, Avery Doria, Luke Surfer, Volker Grayman, and for now, these are the people we have on the line and on the Adobe Connect as well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Why don't we just get started with this call between the Registrar Stakeholder Group and the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group on the RAA negotiations. And Michaeli, why don't I ask you if you or somebody that on your team wants to give us would be willing to give us an update, sort of a background on where this negotiation process is.
Hi, Robin. For the record, Michaeli. I'll let Matt do that since he's our glorious leader.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. So thanks, Robin. This is Matt Serlin for the recording purpose. So I will be briefer in my status update than the negotiations themselves have been, lest I take up 18 months of everyone's time. But essentially, you know, we have been involved in negotiating the RAA with ICANN staff for the better part of 18 months, and obviously through that time, the landscape not only of the ecosystem in terms of new GTLDs and the progress those have made and all of the sort of requirements around the RAA, and those have evolved, but also ICANN staff as well. And there's a new CEO, and there's new players involved. And so, you know, I can talk a little bit about that dynamic and how I think that's impacted things. But essentially, 18 months ago, you know, we started with a sort of laundry list of really twofold. Number one was the list of a dozen law enforcement recommendations that had been kind of widely circulated and discussed and, you know, endorsed by the GAC, and there's just been a lot of discussion about those. So we started with the law enforcement recommendations as well as a list of recommendations that came out of the GNSO sometime prior to the law enforcement recommendations, I think, if I have my timing right. And there very clearly was a lot of overlap between the two. And, you know, pretty early on, I would say, we really made a lot of progress on that list. And so, you know, by the time we got to Toronto, I think it was, we were, you know, 10 and a half out of the 12 law enforcement recommendations had essentially been weaved into the new agreement, and we really thought we had made a substantial amount of progress. And the RAA at that point, based on everything that we had agreed to with ICANN staff, really would have been a dramatic increase in the responsibilities that an ICANN-accredited registrar would have. So we thought we were really kind of close to being completed. And in Toronto, that was Fadi's first meeting. He really wanted to push for completing the RAA by the end of the year. And the folks on the negotiating team, while we thought that was relatively aggressive, you know, we had frankly been working for a year on it. And so we thought if it was doable and we could close out the kind of remaining options, then we would be really more than happy to kind of move on and put it behind us. So that was after Toronto, and unfortunately, you know, we, I think, got caught by the fact that staff just got into so many other things with the new GTLD program and the Trademark Clearinghouse and the straw man and all of that stuff that we really, frankly, had a couple months of, I don't know, a pause, a break in the negotiations, whatever you want to term it. So really it was not until February that we kind of came back around, and a bunch of us went down to L.A., and we really, again, thought we were close. You know, the remaining couple of things we were prepared to work through. And what happened in February was there was a new list of, I think it was 10 or 12 items that staff introduced as public interest requirements or requests, whatever they were. And these included things like the board amendment process and the requirement for new GTLD registries to only use registrars on the 2013 RAA, the registrant rights and responsibilities document. And so we really, over the past 6 weeks, have been working through those 10 or so things, some of which were not insignificant, frankly. And so we had hoped that we would have had more time to work through those ahead of Beijing. But I think because of the fact that staff or the CEO had linked the entire new GTLD program to the new RAA, I think staff felt incredible pressure to get something posted and completed ahead of Beijing. And so that's why you saw the posting by ICANN of what I would call an incomplete, fully negotiated RAA, I guess just a couple weeks ago. You know, it is encouraging, I think, that we have actually had continued conversations with ICANN, and so I think we've had at least two or three sessions where we've tried to iron out the remaining issues. There has been some movement on the board amendment process, which still is outstanding. There's been movement, but it hasn't been completely rectified at this point, at least based on my assessment of it. And so really, you know, we continue to try to work with them to hammer out these new remaining items. And so at a 10,000-foot level, that's kind of my summary. I don't know if James, Volker, you guys would like to add or correct anything that I've stated.
Well, this is James. I'll jump in on that, Matt. And thanks. I think that everything you presented was excellent and spot on. I don't really have anything to correct. I would point out that just for the folks on the call, just to give a flavor of the effort so far, and as Matt mentioned, we're past the 18-month thing because I think we're past where we were in Costa Rica, so we're now closing in on probably 20 months of working on this. And it's been a very, without throwing staff under the bus, it's been a very unusual experience and not like any negotiation effort that I can think of or even imagine, because I think initially it felt like we weren't negotiating with the party that was raising the request, so therefore they didn't feel they had any ability to accept any compromise except for 100% concession on the part of the registrars. So that was kind of, it felt like up until about perhaps Prague or even a little bit after that, it felt a little strange that we were in this kind of trilateral negotiation where one party was not at the table. So that was a little interesting, and then it shifted, I think, after that to just a direct negotiation, bilateral negotiation to registrars and staff. And as Matt pointed out, I think we felt like we were really close to the end when we were in Toronto, and we felt like, you know, we just needed to, you know, get a couple of things put to bed, you know, and you know, sign, you know, and then craft some language, dot some I's, cross some T's, and we were done. It was when we came back to L.A. that we were presented with this new list, over and above what had already been achieved. And so I think that was a real, you know, there was really no other way to put it. We felt like the goalposts had been moved on us, you know, with this new list of requests. So, you know, since then, and by the way, Matt is absolutely correct, those new requests came with the clock already ticking for we need to get this out for public comment, so it's ready by Beijing, and we need to go, 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 go. And we really felt like some of them were so material they needed to be, they needed to have some additional time to digest them. You know, I think the point that I've been trying to emphasize is that the 2013 draft RAA that we had at the beginning of the year or in Toronto or in Prague is a huge sea change over the 2009 RAA. It raises the bar for the entire industry, and it is significantly improved in terms of compliance capabilities for dealing with bad guy registrars or for, you know, compelling registrars to cooperate more effectively with law enforcement, government, and address some things with the GMSO, et cetera. The thing that is concerning is that the remaining items, all of the remaining items that are still out there, you know, causing controversy, originated from ICANN Legal. To my understanding, and Matt, maybe you guys can correct me on this, is that the law enforcement, the GAC, and the GMSO items have been, you know, in one form or another, put to bed. They're done. We're just now wrestling with things that staff wants now. And that's kind of where I think we're kind of scratching our heads a little bit and saying, well, you know, can we just declare victory here? Can we say that we're done and move on? And I think that the answer is that these negotiations are going to continue until they get some of these. And so that's kind of where we're at. And then I think the final thing, and I'll drop off, is that just the concern that some of these requests either tiptoe into or just do a cannonball right into some very controversial issues within the ICANN community, and just kind of like, let's just, you know, cut to the chase of all these discussions and all these, you know, various histories of working groups and people, you know, and groups and interests that have been discussing these things. Let's just cut to the end with a staff solution, and we'll just insert it in the contracts, and then this controversy can go away once and for all. And so I think we feel that there's maybe a little bit of that going on, particularly with the expert working group, with who is, and McKelly is on that group, so I'm not going to disparage it too much, but, you know, we were being asked to agree to the outcome of that group in advance, and I think some other things with privacy and proxy services as well. So there was a feeling of discomfort there as well. So guys, feel free to undo anything I said there. That's just my editorial on the whole process.
Well, thanks, Matt and James. That's really helpful. And I can say that I share your frustration. You know, you talked about the goalposts moving, and I kind of thought, yes, that's exactly the phrase that's come to my mind so many times when trying to negotiate or deal with staff, that it does get a bit frustrating. So I do know, I understand your pain all too well. What about some of the substance of these requests coming from ICANN Legal Department? Can you tell us, like, if there are any that you think would be of particular concern to NCSG? I mean, I've just taken a look at the website that has some of the redline versions, and it looks like some of the who is data is still a hot issue.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously that's still an ongoing issue of concern, and actually what one of the new kind of requests was goes beyond who is data, that goes into account holder data, and so that the request is that we're actually verifying and validating the holder of an account, not just the registrant of a domain name. And so if, you know, I go and create an account and then register a domain name on behalf of someone else, both that information and my information now need to be validated as part of what staff is looking to try to get. So they're really kind of expanding the scope of who is data validation outside of who is, frankly.
Yeah, and I would add to that. That's a good one, Matt. Another example, and I'm not sure if the privacy proxy issue is something that cuts across all of the NCSG, but I think it might be interesting to certainly some members, is this idea that we should put a temporary provision in the contract that obligates registrars and their affiliated providers until or a policy development process can take place. And I think that does a lot of things. One, it presumes that a policy development process will be the output of some of the work that's going on in here. Two, it really kind of leads it, and I think, down a certain path where the, an unfettered working group might come up with different conclusions or different recommendations. And three, it's just this idea that we should, again, use registrar agreements or registry agreements, I guess, would also fall into this category, to, you know, as hammers to hit some of these controversies, whereas I think commercial parties would rather see all of those types of things go into the venue of policy development and keep the contract as focused on just those commercial aspects as much as possible.
Yes. Well, what has ICANN staff said? I mean, what was the justification they provided for needing all of these additional rights above and beyond what law enforcement needs? I mean, did they provide any rationale?
So, and Matt, you can jump in here as well, or any of the other registrars. But, you know, I think what we're hearing a lot of is that the future is so unknown. With new GTLDs and all these new registries and new registrars, there are just so many variables coming at us all at once that it's impossible to predict what the industry landscape is going to look like even, you know, even 10 months from now. So the problem is, I guess, is the solution or the prescription from ICANN Legal is that, you know, so therefore we must, you know, externalize all that risk onto the contracted parties so that ICANN, regardless of what comes out of this, is essentially, you know, outside of accepting the you know, the risk of any adverse effects on the industry based on new GTLDs or any other developments. And I think the other one is just, you know, they're responding to pressure, and I think we appreciate that they're responding to pressure from the GAC and from governments and from law enforcement to take a more, you know, I guess the trendy phrase right now is to lean into some of these abusive type of roles here, you know, that are activities and fraud, and make the internet, you know, a safer place for you know, for consumers and users. They believe that registrars are one of the choke points that they can affect those changes.
Did they give any reason for why they waited until the very last second to introduce these changes? I mean, if you know, these were things that law enforcement has wanted all along, or GAC or others have wanted all along. Why? I mean, obviously it's a negotiating tactic to sort of get what you want by doing it that way. But did they give any rationale for why they would wait until the last minute to introduce new items?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that's where the sort of change in leadership comes in, frankly, in that, you know, by the time Fadi got into the CEO position and got a chance to sort of, you know, take a look at where we were with the RIA and where it fit into the other sort of geopolitical landscape items that James touched on, I think that's my sense anyway, is that he kind of took a step back and said, well, actually, you know, it would, if we introduced all these things into the agreement, it would help us in all these other areas. And so, you know, I don't want to think that it was, you know, all along they were just kind of waiting to introduce these things. I do think that it was unfortunate that there was several months there when, you know, after Fadi was on board, where he just frankly, and I think he would admit this, he just didn't focus or pay attention to where we were with the RIA. And so, you know, it's a little unfortunate that they didn't try to anticipate introducing these things before they, you know, put the RIA in the critical path on GTLDs. And so that's the sort of choke point that we find ourselves in now.
I agree with that assessment that this is, and I would add to it that this is probably precipitated somewhat in Fadi's conversations with governments. At least that's my takeaway from when he was discussing the unilateral amendment, is that, you know, they seem to view ICANN as a regulator with no power to regulate, so they're trying to, you know, trying to do those things.
Yep.
And what about the next steps, and particularly in Beijing? What's happening next on this?
You know, it's a good question. I have been trying to get myself to focus on the schedule, but and James and Volker, Michele, correct me if I'm wrong, but I actually didn't see any sessions on the public agenda specific to the RIA.
Yeah, I didn't see any public sessions. That's a good question, Robin. I think there's, if I'm allowed to speak freely here, personally, I think that they feel like that they may be, especially on the unilateral amendments, that the tide may be turning against some of their requests. And so the original goal that was stated to us in Los Angeles was to get this out for public comment, close the public comment, and give something to the board that registrars and ICANN could agree to, so that at the end of the Beijing meeting they would vote on this thing, and then we would have this really great, awesome high-five moment in Beijing. And I definitely don't think that's in the cards now. So I'm not sure where we go from here.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I kind of touched on it earlier. We have had some additional conversations with staff since the publication of the proposed RIA. I do think they are starting to feel, specifically to the unilateral amendment piece, that there is strong sentiment in opposition to that. Whether or not there'll be something concrete that comes out as a result ahead of or in Beijing is yet to be determined. But, it's our hope that we can press on and wrap this up without, frankly, having to give into things that are unreasonable and unnecessary.
I read in one of the media reports about this that, or somewhere, that Fadi was saying that unilateral amendment right is non-negotiable for ICANN. Is that something that the negotiators have heard, or the sense that you've experienced?
I wouldn't say that that's come across in our discussions with them.
Okay. Well, what is it that those of us non-commercial users can do who support the registrars on this, basically, and want to try to put a little bit of pressure on ICANN to back off a little bit on this? Is there anything in particular that you see that we could do to help your negotiating efforts? I realize in the room and we're not
I appreciate that. I mean, I think, frankly, the continuation of voicing a perspective that maybe staff is not too keen on looking at themselves without that kind of nudge, and that is what impact this is going to have to, you know, domain name registrants around the world. And and actually not only that, one of the more interesting things to me in this whole process was, as soon as ICANN published the proposed RAA that arguably raises the bar dramatically for entry into the registrar community, the very next day or that same day, there was an article about Fadi wanting to increase the number of registrars in Africa. And I thought, boy, that's a very interesting dynamic, right? Here you are, you know, arguably a lot of people that could be registrars today choose not to. They choose to be resellers because of what the requirements are. Well, now we're dramatically increasing the requirements. And so what does that do to, you know, the ability of ICANN to become more global, to do more outreach, to get those five African registrars in place? And what does it do to potential registrants around the world that now have to get their WHIS information validated and their account information validated? And so, you know, I think your group has been incredibly effective in voicing those perspectives and making sure that doesn't get lost in the shuffle of law enforcement wants this, which is, frankly, what staff hears a lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just build, this is James speaking again, I would just build on that by saying that this is a very, especially the amendment, but just the general tone is really, in some respects, I believe, counter to the model that ICANN and Fadi personally have been championing, you know, in this goodwill tour over the past several months, as we go around the world telling everyone how great this works. Why does ICANN staff feel like they need kill switches all over the place? Why do they feel that these controversies need to be solved by direct injection of language into a commercial agreement that was not able to be achieved? I guess the question is, do they believe in the model that they're selling? I think that's a legitimate question. I think that the effect on registrants is huge. most registrants, I think we all understand, don't really pay attention to the developments within ICANN and aren't always aware or engaged as the things that will affect their use of domain name registrations that are going on in these policy circles. And this will just I think, as Matt pointed out, this will significantly shrink the globe in terms of who can register a domain name, who registrars will be willing to accept the risk of certain areas if they can't verify registrant data, for example. And ICANN itself, I think, will change as an organization, as pretty much any topic, controversial topic, will immediately become a board lobbying exercise as opposed to going through the various structures and organizations and policy development processes that we have. So it's a fairly disruptive set of changes that are being proposed. And I think NCSG can help advocate that this is not just a registrar ICANN discussion anymore, because some of these changes are spilling over into the experience from the registrar.
Well, James, I'm really glad you brought up that point about, the broader multi-stakeholder model and how the way governance is supposed to work, and this kind of kill switch strategy that ICANN staff has on that. Because to me, and I don't want to go too far off topic here, but I think that this RIA agreement is just one of the concerns that I have in this overall trend. You know, the recent straw man debacle and adding the trademark, right, trademark plus 50 derivations in the policy plan, and the unilateral rights with the RAA and the registry agreement, and this new WHOIS group that staff's created to fix everything in WHOIS. And so, I just see sort of a larger trend that this RAA agreement just fits in as one example of sort of the community-led, bottom-up, multi-stakeholder policy development process is really, in my view, being just brushed aside entirely for this sort of staff command and control unilateralism. So, and I don't want to go too far off topic or, rant on this, but I really do see this one issue as fitting into that much larger trend and much larger concern that I think all of us in the GNSO and the ICANN community who value the multi-stakeholder model and value the community bottom-up aspect of it should really get engaged on. So I'll leave it at that, but I want to open it up for others because I don't want to monopolize this conversation. So are there other questions or other concerns from anyone on the call?
Yes, I would like to ask a question, please. Hello?
Please, go ahead.
Yeah. My name is Remy Weke from Nigeria. I was actually wondering the recent declaration by ICANN president and the in order to improve or increase ICANN registry presence in Africa. How will that impact on the review that is ongoing now? And especially considering the apathy that we do experience in Africans' participation in such reviews. Did you get me?
Yeah,
this is James. Some part of your question was breaking up there. Were you asking how the declaration of expanding the registrar participation from Africa, how we were receiving that? Was that the question?
Yes.
Well, I think, it's what's interesting that we would be, I guess what we're hearing kind of two statements coming from ICANN that I don't know that they mean the same thing or can be reconciled easily. One is that we need to raise the bar of the industry so that commercial players and service providers are operating from a more mature service model you know, that they're investing the people and the resources necessary to, you know, to meet these new requirements and be more responsive to ICANN and law enforcement, et cetera. And then on the other side of the coin is saying, but we want to lower the barriers to entry in certain parts of the world so that we can increase a number of service providers in other regions. So I think where I'm coming from here is, well, then that has only one answer between those two statements, and that's subsidies, you know, or something of those lines, or carving out different layers of or levels of ICANN accreditation for different regions or different markets or different market segments. And I think, you know, it gets very confusing, and I agree with the question, and I'm sorry I didn't catch your first name. Was it Renly? I think you've hit on a contradiction somewhat between the statements that they're making publicly. Is we want to make it harder to be a registrar, but we want to make it easier to be a registrar in some place.
Yes. Sure. Kwame, I'm online, yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm sorry, somebody trying to say something?
No, I have nothing to say. Just to support the question of my fellow from Nigeria. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this? Any comments, questions?
This is Wendy. I apologize for joining late. I'll look forward to catching up with colleagues on the previous discussion and say... I very much want to find ways for us to support pushback against unreasonable provisions here, and whether that's coordinated or individually through comments and questions, I am eager to do that.
This is Michele. Just one thing. There is one session on the 8th of April between 1700 and 1830, which is on the new GTLD Registry Agreement, the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, and the Registrant's Rights and Responsibilities.
Now, we've been fairly, this is James speaking, we've been fairly kind of, I want to say, outspoken or strident in this call, but I would say that the Registrant's Rights and Responsibilities Statement is not in and of itself a terrible idea. I think that the first draft that we saw from ICANN was not great, but I think that we took it in good faith and we worked on it, and you know, we realized that it was our customers that were going to be the primary audience, and I think the result we have now is a much better document. I think the question that has not necessarily been answered is, how does this fit with the community-developed rights and responsibility document that was, attached to registrar websites a couple, you know, year and a half ago? And does this augment that other document? And so I think that's still an open question. But again, I think it goes back to Robin's point, is here we have something that the community developed, and here we have something that kind of emerged, fully formed from the offices in Los Angeles, and one of those is trumping the other.
So, is there a negotiation session, another one planned on this, or how does that work? The negotiation.
We'll have ongoing discussions with staff leading up to Beijing.
So it's just sort of an email conversation that continues?
No, we have phone calls, 60, 90 minutes at a clip, once or twice a week at this point.
It's Joy here. Can I make an intervention? Just one thing to add to the discussion is that I think some of the discussions I've had with others have said, well, you know, here's ICANN wanting to have this unilateral power inserted into an agreement, and, you know, most commercial operators would try and have some kind of override provision you know, as part of their standard operating procedure. And you know, what are registrars getting so concerned about? And I must say, I was quite shocked by that, some of that feedback. But I think that one of the things that we need to counter this possible perception with is that ICANN is a unique model. It's making public related policy. It's not a private. Although this is a commercial agreement, it's not in a private field. It is actually public policy related. And I think that's where the concern about the breaching of the picket fence is so vital to be making. It's not just about defending the multi-stakeholder model and the integrity of a bottom-up process. It's actually what's the proper role of a board that's making public policy when it's negotiating a commercial contract. So that's the first point I wanted to make. And the second, perhaps concrete, practical suggestion I wanted to make was, would it be useful to have an open RAA negotiation session of some kind? I've seen this work quite effectively as an advocacy tool in other areas where effectively community members host their own public version, if you like, of a negotiation and proffer their own version of suitable final forms of documents. And I'm just, without wanting to prejudice, obviously, the position that registrars are taking in their negotiations, I'm wondering whether there's some way to at least host or foster some kind of open dialogue that would better reveal, if you like, or put pressure on in these discussions in addition to the other points that you've been just raising.
Yeah, you know, it's not something that we have actively discussed or considered. You know, it might be something that we would down the line, but frankly, I, for all of our sanities, I hope this does not continue to drag on so that we need to facilitate something like that. That's my hope anyway.
Do you really think that it's going to conclude?
Well, it's right smack dab in the middle of new GTLDs, so, you know, yeah, I think it will.
Yeah. You know, but I, this is James. I think we're very near the end, but, you know, I've felt that way before, so. I don't indulge that feeling.
Can I ask what actually are the practical options in the event that registrars don't agree?
This is James. Besides the amendment provision, there are a couple of other issues as well. We had asked for. See, a number of registrars signed on to the 2009 agreement early, so our term will be up on the 2009 RAA in July of 2014. Other registrars either just became new registrars and are signed on to the 2001 RAA, or I guess could still be on the 2001 RAA, or just recently became registrars or renewed on the 2009 RAA and may have longer terms. So one of the questions we posed to ICANN was, in order to not create an uneven playing field for these various commercial competitors, how can you ensure us, what incentives can you provide so that registrars will walk away from their perfectly, you know, legitimate and intact 2009 agreement and jump to this new agreement, considering that it has much greater costs and obligations associated with it. And ICANN came back with the 2013 RAA requirement in order to sell new GTLDs. So we had asked for a carrot. They came back with a stick. But I think that is one area that is very important, as well as some period after signature. You know, if we were to sign this tomorrow so that we could sell new GTLDs, we certainly can't implement all of the provisions in 24 hours. So what is the, either period, grace period or period of non-enforcement or something that we're looking at in order to get some of these operational components up to speed, because there are development resources that are going to be required to build some of these systems. So there are those things. There are there's still just, I think, some issues relative to the privacy and proxy specification. I think there was an issue relative to the WHOIS specification. Guys, help me out. There's a couple other loose threads. I think there was one relative to DNSSEC. But I think maybe we fixed that one last week.
Yeah, I think just some small outstanding items like that.
Yeah. So now we're drilling into the weeds a little bit. But I think that, and maybe this is a story that registrars have not been very good at telling, is that, we started this process, we had a list of 12 things that we had to get into the new agreement in some manner or form, and we got all the way to Toronto with 10.5 is what we were saying, 10.5 out of 12. And we were ready to, and then we got a new 12. So you want to call it 24. So we were 10.5 out of 24 coming into January, and then we probably got all of those except for another two or three. So I don't know, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say we're somewhere north of 20 out of 24 requirements. And I want to emphasize that in many cases we were able to, as registrars with our experience, say, instead of doing X, how about we do Y? It's going to be easier, faster, cheaper, and more effective against the problem you're trying to solve. As long as ICANN has been upfront about telling us what they're trying to achieve and what, why they, I think the phrase Robin used, why they want to justify what they're asking for, I think we've been, pretty good about saying this is a good alternative. It's going to be more effective at solving the problem you've identified, and it's going to be easier for us to implement or something we're already doing, et cetera. I think it's those areas where they won't tell us what they want it for, or they tell us, but it fails to make the case, like unilateral amendment, that we just kind of throw up our hands and say, well, we don't know how to solve it because we don't know what problem you're trying to solve here. So we don't have a good alternative for you. In case of unilateral amendment, we know that you can change things with the PVP and you can change things with this really super awesome temporary emergency policy. Why do you need this third mechanism, this third lever? And the things that we get back just really aren't helping to justify those. So those are the areas I think that are still open, is the those things where they have failed to make the case to us that this problem is something that needs to be resolved in the RAA.
And what happens if the two sides can't reach agreement on these remaining issues and that there's just an impasse? Can the registrars walk away? Is there leverage here? What happens if there's no agreement?
Well, yeah. And that's a good question, Robin, because we were talking once, and I'll try to be brief. Clearly, obviously, if new GTLDs go live, the way it's written now, we have to, we're on the sidelines until we sign it. So ICANN could deliver its version of the RAA to the board and say, this is what we came up with. We negotiated with the registrars as a courtesy as long as we could, but now we've, it's go time and we need this new agreement. And the board could conceivably say, yes, we agree with you, and sign off on it. And then you have a choice to make as a registrar, which is you sign now so you can get on the new GTLD, get in the game, or you wait until your other agreement expires and then you have to sign the new agreement. I mean, that, to me, as far as, that's I think, the ultimatum path that ICANN can take. Matt, maybe we're in uncharted waters to some extent.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's a good question, and I think that's exactly right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's their agreement, right? So, if ICANN determines that this is the RAA that they want and they send it to the board and the board votes on it, then, to James's point, registrars, should they choose not to sign that new agreement, effectively will, lose the ability to be an ICANN-accredited registrar. It's like any contract negotiation. You go back and forth, and, if you're the customer that wants certain terms, then your contracted party decides to either give in or not, and ultimately you sign the agreement or you walk from it. And so I don't think it'd be any different in this scenario, frankly.
It's Joy here. A couple of things. One is, it's not ICANN's agreement, it's our agreement. It's the community's agreement. And it's an agreement that relates to public policy and has huge impact on registrants, which the board has responsibility for ensuring some, you know, veracity of process around. And if it comes to brinksmanship, then, you know, I think you're on this, then I think the process is wrong and the outcomes are inevitably going to be bad. And, you know, I wonder, listening to the discussion, whether there aren't some other options. Firstly, for example, whether the, I mean, the new GTLD round hasn't even actually commenced yet, you know, whether there might be some possibility of asking for the amended agreement insofar as those points that are agreed at least proceeds to the board, and the issues that are still under negotiation continue under negotiation, until, you know, while allowing other aspects to proceed, and at least not delaying that that process. So that's one option. And whether another one is, you know, again, listening to your characterisation of the negotiations, is whether some reference to the Ombudsman or some other process might be useful in terms of trying to bring ICANN staff back from this brink that they're pushing people towards. I'm not saying that that's a good idea. I'm just trying to think creatively about some other options to sort of equalise some of this and move back from a game of brinksmanship, which, you know, I fundamentally think is undemocratic and not healthy for the ICANN model.
I think also maybe exploring alternatives of replacing ICANN or finding some means of performing these functions without ICANN. I realize that might sound a little dramatic, but if they can't do a good job, maybe we should take the game somewhere else.
So it's Wendy here, and I apologize if I've missed earlier pieces of the conversation, but I do want to emphasize non-commercial stands very strongly behind the registrars in their negotiating positions, and the outrage that you've expressed over what ICANN is currently doing, and we stand with you there because these positions match ours in concern for non-commercial registrants. So I wanted to sort of do everything that I can to encourage you to continue standing firm on these privacy issues, and so that because I'm not sure we don't have much opportunity elsewhere, but we will. We don't want to see these issues compromised away. Wouldn't want us to wind up filing comments or complaints afterwards that, you know, end up against everybody because the wrong compromises have been made, and now the only issues left are a few pieces of business arrangement. Rather, I think we share a strong interest in privacy protections and jurisdictional considerations, and please don't compromise on those things.
Wendy, this is James, and you know, I think it's good to hear that we have some the support of other groups in this struggle, because I certainly did not feel like that was the case early on. You know, I think that it was in the Costa Rica meeting. People were like, what's taking you so long? You know, we told you to yank on the registrar's leash and put them back in their cage here. Why are you dragging this out? And I think that as time has gone on, I think that more and more the truer picture has been emerging here, is that we're trying to do some certain things, but we feel like, you know, we're on a shifting playing field where the goalposts keep sliding just out of reach. And anyway, so it's good to hear that that is now, I think, the picture that is emerging to the to the rest of the community. I would point out that, you know, I was on the Who Is Review team a while back, which is, was completely disregarded, by the way, in favor of this expert review group, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, but one of the things that we noted when we were trying to entangle some of the Who Is issues was that there were a lot of policy issues baked into commercial agreements. And it made it very confusing when we tried to either develop policy that was contrary to a commercial agreement or negotiate a commercial agreement that was loaded with all this policy stuff. And, you know, you hear people say things like picket fence and, you know, this is or is not within the picket fence. And it sure seems like what, you know, if we had a blank slate, what we should have done with this is create a clean RAA and registry agreement that was nothing but commercial language or the structure or the construction of the commercial agreement, and then have a separate document that was the, you know, the ICANN policy, constitution, or charter, whatever you want to call it, and there was just a link, one line in the commercial agreement, you will abide by all the requirements in this other document, done, you know, and then every time you, you know, so that there was a clearer separation between what was the kind of thing that worked through the PDP and, you know, was that we could expect the board to referee versus what were those things that were just the terms and conditions of doing business with ICANN. And I think that, the, you know, the original sin, perhaps, of this model is that we blended those together at the outset.
Thank you. And I also want to join with Wendy's comments that we really do appreciate the way you guys have been on the front line of this issue and defending the registrants' rights, maybe for your own reasons, but nonetheless, we really do appreciate that. And we do want to continue to support you guys in whatever way we can. And so I think we can maybe try to put together a statement on this, a policy statement on this that we can hopefully introduce before the public forum in Beijing, but certainly by then. Are there any other questions, any other comments on this? We only had about an hour scheduled, so I don't want to take up too much more people's time, but I know we have a lot of other people on the call, so are there other questions or issues?
Robin, it's Joy. Just one reflection from the last GNSO council meeting, which, you know, as you know, as a group has been divergent in its views on many topics deeply for a long time. And I think it was striking that the degree of unanimity and one voice the council was speaking with on this topic at the last meeting was quite remarkable. And I do think we need to perhaps think about what, as council, what council can do essentially to support the registrar's position on this, or at least the concerns about the issues that have been raised. I'm wondering whether that's something that registrars might be willing to have a think about in terms of preparing for our meeting in Beijing.
No, it's a good point, and I, you know, it's frankly been refreshing to see the level of support that we've received not only from folks on the council but from the greater community representatives. So, you know, we look forward to that level of support as we head into Beijing in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've ever seen the council unanimous on anything like this before. This is pretty.
Especially in support of registrars. I mean, that's like, it's unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a viability
concern for the GNSO, I think, long term, right? I mean,
absolutely.
We still want that to be the center of policy management, not closed door negotiations with the board.
So whether it's some kind of motion, if the registrars were thinking that some kind of motion would be useful, wanted to collaborate on preparing one, for example, or whether some other kind of council consideration might be useful, it's that may be worth reflecting on.
That's a great idea, Joy. It would be really wonderful to see council have a motion on this issue and stating well, I guess their previously stated views, but basically that they expect to be taken seriously and that this is where policy is supposed to be made. I would think that the council could agree to that much.
Just even calling on the board not to ratify an agreement that doesn't have community support.
Exactly.
I don't know. Anyway, if the Registrars wanted to think about that, we'd be happy. We'd be open to support. I'd be open to talking with councillors about supporting it.
It would be interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I'm not sure exactly what that would what that language would look like. But I think any expression, formal or even informal, because I don't know that the board is asking to be put in this position of the ultimate referee and arbitrator of all these controversies. Maybe that conversation needs to be had as well in Beijing.
Yeah, that seemed to get some pick up when I raised it in the council meeting that the board would now be taking on responsibility for a whole class of issues that formerly it could push out to the community process and get more and better input on.
Right. Well, listen, I've got to run. I've got to hop onto another call. But thank you guys for taking the time for this. Like I said earlier, it's been encouraging us to see the level of support and attention that folks are paying to this, and we look forward to continuing that as we head into Beijing. So I look forward to interacting with everyone in China.
Thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciate your time talking with us on this.
Sure. Safe travels, everyone. We'll see you there.
Thanks. See ya.
Thank you.
Was there any other comments or questions, final thoughts on this issue before we call to a close?
Okay.
Pardon me?
There's nothing much to add, only that we now look forward to what will be the outcome after the Beijing meeting. And then from there, we'll know the next steps we could also take at our own level as a commercial users group.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, well, I will call this meeting to a close, and thank you all, particularly the registrars, for talking with us and explaining your views and what you've had to go through on this process. We really appreciate the insight, and we look forward to working with you guys further and supporting you further, because I think we're on the same side on this issue.
Well, it sounds like it. Well, thank you. Speaking. Certainly appreciate the time and the support, and, if there's any other questions that come up, if you want to funnel them to me or Matt or McKaylee, we're not shy about speaking our mind on these things, so please feel free to reach out to us.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, goodbye. Thank you.